Hey Haunters, this is Philip from the Haunted Attraction Network, and I just wanted to explain what's going to be happening before we get to the episode here. The mission of the Haunted Attraction Network is to help haunters achieve more through education, inspiration, and information. And sometimes this mission demands that we reach out to other community members who do what we can't. And in the next few months, we're going to be partnering with other content producers to enhance your experience with us on the network. So we're announcing that Haunt Topic Radio and Frequent Fear are going to be joining us. So what does this mean? Well, it means that these two shows will now be available in our app, and they'll be on our main network feed. So if you're subscribed to our network feed and you're listening to me right now, that's why it's not going to be one of our regular shows. It's going to be one of these two shows coming on. So if you're subscribed to any of our app or our main feed or et cetera, you're going to get these two podcasts in addition to ours. They're not produced by us. Haunt Topic Radio and Frequent Fear are their own things, but they're going to be in our feed. So what can you do next? You can make sure that you have a subscription to one of our free apps for Apple or for Android, or you can make sure you're on our main feed or check out our website to hear more from their shows. Brian and Daryl from Haunt Topic Radio embody the mission that we do, and it's a great joy to have them on network. And Frequent Fear Podcast, while they're a little new to the industry, they really focus on raw and unedited conversations that aim at the true haunter. So without further delay, enjoy.
Welcome to Haunt Topic Radio, the podcast for haunters by haunters. These are our scary visions.
Welcome back, haunters, to another episode of Haunt Topic Radio. If this is your first time tuning in, we are a podcast for haunters. If you're involved in the haunted attraction industry, you own your own haunted house, you decorate your garage or your yard for Halloween, then tune in because you are getting ready to hear live interviews from Transworld Halloween and Attraction Show 2016 in St. Louis, Missouri. Yes, we just got back from Transworld. We always have a great time when we go to Transworld. This is my sixth year going. If you've never been to Transworld, Transworld is the largest Halloween and attraction show, I believe, in the world for our industry. Once you walk into Transworld, you look to the left, you look to the right, and this place is huge. It's in the America Center, which is a huge trade show conference building. And anything for your haunted house, from silicone masks to latex masks, makeup, fog scents, animatronics. This year they had an escape room section off to the right. All about escape rooms and building your own escape rooms. There's art. There's t-shirts. There's wristbands. There's managing software. Everything you need to fully function and run a haunted attraction business, you will find it at Transworld. Say I was on the trade show floor for 2 days. We got there Thursday, went there for a couple hours on Thursday, spent all day Friday and Saturday there, and we headed out Sunday. Got to meet up with some old friends, met some new friends, did a lot of networking, took a lot of pics and interviews for Haunt Topic Radio. So I advise you guys to get out and experience Transworld at least once. If you are a haunter, you need to go to Transworld at least once to see what it's all about. I also want to thank Jennifer Braverman for issuing me a press pass again this year. I was able to get in there a little bit early and interview some people for the podcast, which helped me out greatly. Try to get in there before the crowds do, but once those gates open, it's like a cattle rush. There was a lot of people this year and a lot of vendors. So what you're going to be listening to are audio interviews from the show, live from the show. And it just so happens I interviewed 13 people. Let me give you a quick rundown of who's going to be in this podcast. A new vendor called Scared of My Shadow, Pache Airbrush, 13th Ward Effects, Closed Casket Studios, Creepy Collection, Cross Breed Productions, Reynolds Advanced Materials, Necrotic Creations, Gilderfluke, Haunter's Hangout, Hotwire Foam Factory, Haunting FX, and Haunt Shirts. So if you went to Transworld and you missed these vendors, didn't have time to stop and talk to them, well, I did that for you. If you haven't made it to Transworld, then you'll kind of get some of the atmospheric happenings around conversations and listen to some really good vendors. A few have been around the industry for many years, and there's a couple of them that are just starting out. So I'd like to highlight some of the new vendors that are just getting started on the scene to help them out. A little bit about the HauntersToolbox.com website. I am still pounding that thing. There's so much content and so much information on starting and growing your haunted attraction that I want to make sure I get this right for you guys. So I'm taking a little bit of extra time. I want to make sure everything is good to go when you log on to this website. Once again, there will be a free membership side and there will be a paid membership side. All content related to starting and growing your haunted attraction business. So I haven't stopped. It's coming. I'm not sure when because I got this crazy day job and I'm pounding away on this website and trying to get all these podcasts for you guys. And before long, haunt season's getting ready to start up, but I'll make it happen because I'm crazy like that. But if you want to know all our happenings and what's going on with whatever we got going on Haunt Topic Radio or Haunter's Toolbox, just get on our email list, haunttopic.com/subscribe. That would take you straight into our opt-in page. Just put your email and name in there. And we'll start sending you some cool emails of some of our past shows, some of our past articles, and you'll get all of our new podcast updates and anything that we got going on. You'll get that in your email inbox. Also, I will be hosting the Haunters Hangout. Haunters Hangout is on Google Hangouts every Thursday starting in February. Well, this is I don't know what show this is I will be hosting, but it's going to be on March 31st, which is a Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time. You can go to Haunters Hangout on Facebook, scroll up to the top, and their pinned post there. That's where they always have their shows. So check out the pinned post. It's free. It's a 2 to 3 hour chat with other haunters. We've got some really cool guests, and they give away prizes. So go check them out. And if you miss it, you can always check it out on YouTube. And I will be hosting that on March 31st, the Haunters Hangout. We also include Scene 4 of the Night Keep, Heretica. Scene 4 is the Catacombs. If you missed the first three scenes, the Night Keep is a dark horror and gothic music. He includes music and a little bit of a story along with his CD. So we're including the story in our podcast and kind of making an episode type of thing. We are on Scene 4. So if you missed the other three scenes, then go back. Listen to the three episodes of Haunt Topic Radio so you get the whole story. And there might be a rumor that the Haunted Attraction Network might be including Haunt Topic Radio in their podcast feed. Just another place to find us. And if you like podcasts and you like haunted attractions, well, go check out Haunted Attraction Network or Haunted Attractions Podcast or the Haunt Journal. Phillip's the man. He's doing it all out there. So go check out the other podcasts from Philip. Well, you didn't come here to listen to me. You came here to listen to Transworld Interviews. So let's roll into it. My experience in 2 days at Transworld Halloween and Attraction Show 2016 in St. Louis, Missouri. So today I have Lisa from Scared of My Shadow. So tell me a little bit about your company, and I think this is maybe your first year at Transworld.
Yes, this is my first year, and I'm working with Brutal Rust, and I developed a line of vegetable tan leather masks that wear like a comfortable shoe, so the more you wear it, the more comfortable it becomes. It's like, it's a very good, strong product, and I also, I 3D model and 3D print a majority of the components, and hand dye, hand stitch, everyone is a unique piece.
So I own a warehouse type, it's called Dead Factory, so I see a lot of these pieces could play into my theme, because they're more of a steampunk type, you know, they have the leather mask type of costume. Yeah, one looks kind of like a gas mask. Another one where it's just a mouthpiece.
This is actually a porthole that opens with a little actor-operated light, and this magnifies the wearer's teeth and tongue.
Awesome. See, I've never seen that before, so that's pretty cool. That one's already sold. Dang it. I should have came here earlier.
I am taking orders.
Okay. So, for where can they find your stuff? Tell us a little bit more about how you go into the... First, tell us a little bit more about how you go into making one of these masks.
So I first paper model it over a human head form. Then I render over that paper model any of the detailing that I want to do. Then I put it through and I computer model it. Then I laser cut it. I do a mock-up in leather to see how well it drapes, because every time you use leather and you wet form it, it stretches a new way. So you have to kind of, you do a full mock-up. And then I see everything that I could have done a little bit better, and I reevaluate, and I fix everything, and then I come up with the final product. And then through that, I come up with a couple of shapes. I like to have themes, so I work with things that are like urban primitive. It's kind
like
of
the, like the deer antler type.
Like the deer antlers, and they're cast. And I'm also a mold maker, so I find real antlers and I make my own molds, and then I cast them in a super light material.
Looks just like the real thing.
It does, and it looks like the real thing, but it weighs nothing.
Exactly. And that matters when you're wearing it for 6 hours.
Well, I'm a professional costume designer too, for 15 years in theater. So functionality and wearability, I start with that. And visibility, breathability, that's why, for instance, the porthole mask, it's made so that actors can take beverages while they're still in costume, but still in character. So it's not like they have to take off a full mask, have something to drink, and then put it back on. So that's kind of where my professional background is meshing into my haunt experience pretty clearly.
Yeah, so that's what I look for as a haunt owner, is something that I can have my actors in, because I also act too as I'm running the thing. I'm still acting, and it's for me to be able to talk to my actors and be able to talk to my customers if I have to be out of character for a minute. You know, something like this is easy for me to take in and off, and you know, it's comfortable. You don't have, it's like a silicone mask where you have to take it off and put it back on every time you want to get out of it. So do you have any of these your favorite pieces that you like?
Oh, geez. Well, I would have to say that the porthole mask and the teeth version of the mask that also lights up in the end, that's kind of my flagship pieces. But I've been getting really excited about the Day of the Dead masks that I've been making.
There's a lot of detail in that.
There's a lot of detail, and I've loved Day of the Dead for 20 years now.
Right.
So this is kind of like, this is something that comes very much from like what I love,
right,
and also... what just so happens to be popular now, which isn't a terrible thing. But actually, it's hard to pick a favorite, because I am determined to only make things that I really love.
Right.
And
all your favorites.
And so hopefully other people will love them as much as I do. Because it's this is a business for me.
You can tell you're very passionate about your art pieces, so they're basically pieces of art that you could wear. And they're leather, so they're going to hold up.
They're going to really hold up, yeah. And they're fully adjustable, too, which is really nice. So they could fit a variety of people. And I even have a design that's made specifically for people wearing glasses, because as someone who 50% of the time wears glasses, growing up, and as a younger person who loved to dress up, there was nothing I could do. I couldn't experience. So I wanted to make sure to be really inclusive in my styles as well.
Well, where can other people and other haunters find your masterpieces?
www.scared-of-my-shadow.com. And I try to post as soon as I have a new piece. But it's one of those, it's a website that I have more things showcased. And then you contact me and I'll let you know the availability, how long it takes me to make them. Needless to say, I don't have anything available on the website currently, because it's all here. But I will be building up my stock over the summer.
Are you on any social media, Facebook pages, or anything like that?
Well, one of my lovely assistants just started to put me on Instagram. I don't know what the I'm just getting into the social media part, so that's coming.
Yeah, because pieces like this, well, they like seeing stuff like that on Instagram, so that would be doing really good for you.
I'm going to have to get right on that. Being so new, I'm learning a lot about what it means to sell the work that I love. So, yeah, big learning curve right now, but it's a great learning curve.
That's a big thing with us as haunters, or more creative side. We have to learn the business side much more than other people coming from the business side into art, because that's just not who we are. We like to create and just let everybody see it. So now marketing is a big, that's that big gorilla in the room that you have to tackle. So.
Yeah, I'm currently trying to put together a small team of people to keep me moving in all the right directions.
Well, hopefully we'll get you on the podcast, and everybody will check out your stuff online, wherever they happen to come across it, Instagram or your website. So, well, it was good talking to you today, and hopefully your first year at Trans World is awesome.
Thank you very much, and it was a pleasure.
Thank you. So today I have Chuck from Pache Airbrush Company. How are you doing today, Chuck?
Oh, fantastic. It's great to be here at Trans World this year. Very big show. Very excited about it. It's just great. A lot of people, a lot of friends. Fantastic show so far this year.
Have you been to Trans World before?
Yeah, many years. We've been doing Trans World now probably, I think I'm going on about 6 or 7 years now. The organization is fantastic to work with. They put one of the best shows on ever.
Looks like it's gotten even bigger this year.
Way. Attendance is really, really high this year. Extremely excited. Meeting many, many new people, and you get to see the people that you've always seen before, and it's great. You're making all kinds of friends, and it's just a fantastic show to come to.
So I know you guys have been around the special effects industry, the haunted attraction industry, for many years. Can you tell me a little bit about the back history of a Pache Airbrush?
Yeah, the Pache Airbrush started in 1904. The company's been in existence since then. It's 112 years old. The company is family-owned. It's in its fourth generation right now, and it's just a great place. I've been working with the company for 27 years, and it's fantastic. Our facility is 60,000 square feet in Chicago. We make everything there. All of our airbrushes and our CNCs are there. We got several machines. And it's just a really good atmosphere, American-made product.
How many generations is this company into now?
We're in our fourth generation right now.
And one of your salesmen were telling me about you guys used to be like a conveyor paintbrush company?
Yeah. We used to make conveyor units back in the 80s. Automated spray machines. We're not much into the automated spray machines anymore. Our main focus now is all of our airbrushes. We still do big giant spray booths, which are used in this haunt industry as well as automotive industry and all those other industries, but we manufacture spray booths as well.
So you must have found your niche in the I guess everybody was kind of coming to you for maybe products in the airbrush industry, and you decided for handheld stuff, you decided to go there?
Yeah. See, we started out with a lot of other industries. We're not only in the haunt industry, but we're in many other industries, from hobby industry, taxidermy industry. Now we're branching out into a lot of the food industry. Is really big for us now with baking, with cakes and frosting and all that kind of stuff.
So your airbrushes can hold up to a lot of stuff.
A lot of materials. I have also worked with an effects shop that was out of New York, Gotham Effects, and we figured out that our airbrushes also pump silicone materials, so it's really good. We can use so many materials. Just want people to know more education. I'm going to also be doing a seminar here on Saturday for an hour to give people some internal education. People need education.
So someone starting out on a basic airbrush set, never used the airbrush before, what kind of advice would you give them?
Just to be smart. They need to be smart with the product. Whether they should be using a single action airbrush or a double action airbrush. They need to know the internals, cleaning, taking care of it, what fluids work, what they don't. It's very important to have the internal communication directly with the client. Because if you don't, they get lost, they get confused. If they don't know that internal information, it's a big problem.
So what stands out about your old airbrushes? I know they're all made in the USA, correct?
Correct. That's one of the biggest things nowadays. Being made in the USA, I think is huge. It's huge. We have to understand, we have to start selling products here in the country.
I agree, because we need to get our workers back, and we need to get our products quality again. I like your all's brushes. I've never used one, but many of my friends also use your all's airbrushes, and I know that they stand up.
I invite people all the time. I get customers that walk up to me, they look at the airbrush, and they said to me, one guy said to me, oh yeah, you're probably getting those things made in China. I handed him my business card. I said, you know what? I said, come, we got 60,000 square feet. You're more than welcome. I will give you a personal tour of the factory. You can see how these parts and these airbrushes are manufactured here in the USA.
So anybody wants to come and get maybe some of your inks and some of your airbrushes, where can they go find all this stuff?
You can find it directly at PasciAirbrush.com. At a show like this, of course, you know, our website is always a retail price. What I tell people a lot of times, too, is you can go there, but it's much better if you think you're going to be at a show like this. We give you a lot of show pricing, special pricing. So you're going to get a much better deal. I can package things for you and give you much better pricing at trade shows like this. It just works.
Well, I'm good to see you on the floor again. I'll probably see you again next time. But I'm hopefully you have a good Transworld 2016.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And Transworld is going to be fantastic. And I really enjoy being here with all the people. And
thanks a lot. Well, I'm walking to Transworld, and I got to row 4. And I ran into Andrew Biggerstaff from 13th Ward FX. I know you guys been to Transworld before, correct?
We have. This will be our third year. We skipped last year and decided to come back this year. It's totally worth it.
So what exactly is your product that you're selling?
The product we're selling is silicone masks. We've been making, we have about, I think, 28 different masks now. And also costuming. We're doing custom costuming solutions.
Like that tire, what is that, like a Road Warrior type of?
Mad Max-esque Road Warrior style costume.
Got all kinds of cut-up tires on it, and some camouflage drab, olive drab material. So is that the only costume you make, or do you other stuff?
We do anything, really. Anyone can come to us with an idea. I need a wingsuit, and we can come up with a wing costume for them, or anything, really.
So a little bit about your silicone mask. You got that creepy-ass nurse with her boobs hanging out up there. That's pretty awesome. And you got some clowns, a pig man, skeleton. They even got names. That's good. So tell me a little bit about the silicone mask making process you guys go through.
Well, we'll start with a sculpt. Sculpt on an inner head form. And then once that's completed, we end up molding that out of fiberglass, making a high quality fiberglass mold. After that process is finished, we'll end up taking that off, then removing the clay, filling it with silicone in that void, and you get a mask out of it.
Looks like really good quality material. And how, you probably have, what, 30 masks or so up there?
Yeah, about that, 30.
That scarecrow mask is pretty awesome.
For this year, the scarecrow's new this year, Jay the Mutant's new, the ghoul. So we have probably 8 or 9 new masks for this show.
It looks like you're keeping your prices pretty, it looks like a little bit lower than everybody else, too.
Yeah, we're trying to keep them lower. We want to really get them out there to the haunts. Especially we want people to know that instead of spending an hour on makeup, you can get a mask that's going to do that same thing every night repeatedly without having to worry about it.
So if they lost out and didn't get to make the Transworld this year, where can they find your cool silicone masks and costumes?
You can visit us at 13thwardfx.com or find us on Facebook.
Very good. Well, hope your year is successful here at Transworld.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Well, I made it to aisle six, and we have David Schonk from Closed Casket Studios. How's this year at Transworld been for you so far? So we're on day, what, number two?
Oh, it's crazy so far. I just don't even know how to take it. It's our first show.
First show? I mean, is this your first time being at Transworld?
We've come the last couple years as buyers. We were doing a small charity haunted house in Ohio. I started making this stuff up for our haunted house, and we had our building bought out from under us. So everyone just told me to keep making it and offer it to everybody else.
So these are a little different. These aren't, I know you carry some masks, but most of these heads that you have designed are mainly to put on props and stuff like that, right?
Yes. I feel like there's always been the problem if you order a mask online and it ends up being double the size of what an actual head is. I wanted to create something that was realistic, that you could put it on your prop, and it, when you can't afford, you know, some of the bigger companies, that you can do it yourself. I always wanted to build everything myself. We would build, like, you know, 20, 30 PVC pipe frames for our haunted house, and we had to have a head and a nice set of hands to put on them. And I want to be that guy that offers it to you, you know?
That's right. So what is, do you design and sculpt, mold all these yourself?
Yes. Yeah, right now we're a one-man production. Every once in a while I'll lure someone in to some pizza or some beer or something to come help me paint. I feel like that's how I got my guys to come help me with my booth. Some of my good friends from the haunted house.
Well, I was going to say, I know choosing your favorite piece of an art collection is a little difficult, but do you have any favorite pieces here that you had the best fun sculpting or making?
I think my new favorite one right now is Tube Steak. He's kind of like a Leatherface character, kind of almost Frankenstein-like. It's a twist on the classic Frankenstein.
You called him Tube Steak?
Tube Steak.
Right on. That'd be easy to remember.
He's got a tube of skin on.
That's right. Looks like Tube Steak. That's right. I got it. So I know you carry some of these other... Are these over here? Are those hands that you can actually put on your actors, or are those just hands for props?
Big thing. We did a couple of the smaller shows last year. We did MHC, and then we did Chicago Frights in July. The big thing that everyone wanted was hands to go with them. If you're buying these heads, they want hands to match them.
You can pretty much make your own PVC body, stuff it or whatever, and buy the set of these and make a complete prop.
Yes, yeah, that's what we want to do, is that if you can order a head, we'll paint them up a set of hands to match any mask you buy from us. We can do, even we can do custom paints if that's why you have a mask that you want hands for.
That's what I like doing myself, is finding stuff like that that you make and then making my own stuff.
I've bought a lot of masks throughout time to do that. Like,
I mean, it's still hard for me to drop $500 or $600 on a body if I know I can kind of do it myself. So
I feel like that was always like, you know, half our budget for the haunt, you know?
And those were only $80. Is that a show price or is that everyday price?
That is our show price through the end of the month. We may be doing another sale like this, though, for MHC in June. But
so if they lost out and they didn't make the Transworld this year, where can they find this stuff and buy it?
Everything will be live by the end of the week on closedcasketstudios.com. You can also check us out on Facebook, shoot me a message, I'm sure we can work something out, or follow us on Instagram at Closed Casket Studios.
Awesome, man. Well, I hope this first year of Transworld is awesome for you, and that you just keep on haunting.
Keep on haunting.
That's right, man. All right, well, good to meet you. Well, here I am at Transworld 2016. I ran into Jeremy D'Alessandro from Creepy Collection. I know you guys have been around Transworld for many years. I've been here about six myself. And I think you've been around every year that I've been here. So how many years have you been here? Do you know?
Yes. Hello, everybody, by the way. We've been coming to the show since 2007. So next year will be technically our 10th year, but 9th, because we did not go to Vegas. Skipped out on the Vegas show, so that was the interruption.
So Creepy Collection, it's bloody, it's gory, there are props, there's heads, there's barbed wire, there's oversized costumes. What exactly is Creepy Collection?
basically, it keeps evolving. We could do anything. We make props. We make paintball props. We make heads. We make dolls, zombies, clowns, hanging props. We got a little toy thing going on in the future with some people. We got blood recipes coming out. You know, we just keep expanding into new territories all the time. So mostly it's, the props that you can move and flex, and, you know, that's basically what we're known for, because our props are fully flexible, fully posable props. And we also have now the most indestructible props with our, you know, paintball products that are, you know, steel reinforced, and they also have coatings on them that are impact resistant, weather resistant. All our bloods, every product is impact resistant now.
That's awesome. I like your technique and your style of creating these monstrosities.
Thank you.
Do you do all these by hand, or do you have all these your ideas?
We do it every way possible. It's so funny, like, people come into my shop and, like, you know, actually new workers, and I tell them sometimes, like, we'll mold the stuff, we'll hand make the stuff, we'll do whatever we got to do to pull the looks off that we're looking for. I mean, like, it is there's nothing that I won't do to get a look I want. And as far as, like, detail wise we're pretty intense with the detail. We go all over, from just not the face down to the clothing. We rip the clothing. We're adding layers and layers of effects on clothing this year that gives it a real, real nasty look. It's just never ending. It's just never ending. I don't sleep very much, but the props look fantastic.
You can sleep when you're dead, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I slept last night pretty good, though.
Yeah. I passed out at 8, man. I don't know what you're
doing. 10 o'clock, got up at 6 in the morning, hit the gym, and feel good today. Finally got a full night's sleep. Probably the first time I slept a full night's sleep in about 4 months.
That's because everything's here, set up, and ready to go, right?
I could breathe. I got to breathe for a little bit. Yeah. Plus, I kicked out the guys out of my room. I was sharing a room with my boys. I got them their own room yesterday and had silence. It was fantastic.
Nice. And darkness.
No, I fell asleep with the lights, the TV on, woke up with it all on. I did not care. It was great.
Yeah. Well, I know, because a lot of people think, they see the vendor, well, you've only been here since Thursday. Well, there's a lot of prep time. It goes involved, is involved with setting up a show.
No, we oh my God. I was clocking 3 hours sleep for 4 weeks before the show even opened to get all these props ready. Most of these props that are at my booth, if you see my booth, a good chunk of these didn't even exist during New Year's. Probably only 5 did. So January, February is where we built all these. And February is where we really, really worked our tail feathers off, so to speak. And then, with 17-hour days, 6 days a week, up to almost 7 days right before the show. Then we leave on Monday, and we got a 2-day drive. And then we come here, we get here by Tuesday. And that's when it really starts. And it's a lot of hustle and bustle to get these things going.
So if people have didn't make it to Trans World, and I'm sure they can buy stuff on creepycollection.com. In the order process, when do they need to get their orders by if they want to open up for September, October season?
I'll be honest, we do orders all year long. Like, a lot of vendors stop taking orders. My idea is Halloween is the end. We had a customer call me up the Sunday before Halloween that week, and he was a new customer and he wants to place an order. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, Halloween's next week. And he's like, yeah, I know. And he's like, I live in New York though. I was like, well, your chances of getting product just went up because you can come pick it up. Ship wise, if you're anywhere else, it's over. So he came to the shop and I had to tell my staff, sorry guys, you're not off yet. We got one more order, just came in. So the best time, it all depends on you guys, but you know, the more time we get, the better the props look. Because it's more time for me to dig in. It's more time for me to work out the clothing details, do all that work. You're ordering in, like, you know, September, and you need it within September. Well, you think about this. How fast can someone cook a masterpiece of a meal if they have an hour? But if they have, like, a week to prep, a week to write down everything, a week to get it all done, that meal's going to taste a lot better. Same with props, you know. So the more time you give us, the better your props are going to look. The least amount of time, they're going to look good. They're not going to look amazing because we got to rush. And I don't like doing rush work. So
yeah.
I would say, like, right now at the show, we go right back and we get our website updated for April. And all these props will be on that website, and they're all going to be on there at a show discount until the end of April. And then that's going to end. And then June, we have our next line of sales, which comes out. And that's mostly like the mid-range products. And then after that, we kind of shut sales down. We do some promotions over the summer, very little. And then it's just all out of sanity. So I would say anywhere but April and May is the best time to get your orders in. Even on a deposit. Call us up, email us, get that order in. Because we got to import a lot of stuff to get these orders. And I put that, like, we're looking by the end of April to send all that information over. Because it takes about 60 days for our bodies to get to us. So, and we put 90 days on all products at the show. So, if you do the math, we got to get these in pretty fast to pull it off.
So, if you guys like unique creations for your haunted attraction or your home haunt, you need to check out creepycollection.com. And thanks, Jeremy, for taking the time out to talk to Haunt Topic Radio today.
Thank you, guys, and thanks for listening. Thanks for coming in my booth with a microphone.
I'm sure I'll see you around somewhere.
Absolutely. See you guys soon.
Got Chris Thomas from Crossbreed Productions. Is that Crossbreed Haunted Productions?
Yeah. Crossbreed Haunted Productions, Chris Thomas, yep.
You guys are a little different, unique concept. You have these type of permanent, I guess, costumes on a type of platform. You have an actor that hides behind that. So it looks like something on the wall, but as soon as the customer walks by, out comes your scare.
Yep.
So it's kind of a scare actor control prop.
Yeah, people don't know if it's an animatronic, is it a static prop. We call them creature frames, all actor operated. It's kind of just a new take on a drop panel, you know. You know, for actors that are hiding behind walls, just a different way to scare people, you know what I mean? Last year was our first year, just like really bringing a ton of them, and they got well received. We got best new prop for the trade show, which was cool, so, yeah.
I remember seeing you last year, and you might have had a handful.
We had 15 last year. We brought 26, but we gave one away, some charity stuff. But yeah, we brought a lot more this year. Just trying to catch every little niche.
Right. So what do you think why these props are so unique to the industry?
I don't know. Just a different take, a simple take, really. I mean, it's not a hard concept. It's just, I don't know, something new. I don't know.
I like them because we've done the oversized costumes for the actors, and you have the stuff, the puppets that come out of the wall. This is different, kind of different because I've been watching that, you know, the people walking by. You know, to me, anything in a haunted attraction you don't expect is going to get your customer even more.
Sure.
And people don't see that on the wall, they don't expect it to move.
Right.
So like you said, the drop panel concept, they don't expect that picture to move.
Right.
But it does. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we're here scaring haunters, so we must be doing something right.
Yeah, you're doing something right. So if they didn't make it to Transworld this year, they can go to crossbreedhaunt.com to get all your supplies?
Yeah, crossbreedhaunt.com is our website, and we also have Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. Same name, Crossbreed Haunted Productions.
So I know it's going to be a trick question, but out of all of your creations, which one is your favorite?
Which one is my favorite? Probably our zombie break-in, kind of hidden behind there. He seems to be the good staple. I like making them. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are all made in-house by you. You have any helpers?
Just me, mostly me, and the help of my family when I can, you know, feed them coffee and food, you know what I mean?
Right,
free
yeah.
help, so yeah,
exactly.
A lot of work, but a lot of fun.
Say, go mold this, or go paint that.
Yeah, it's like, Dad, go cut out some more boards for me, you know, please.
Right. Well, it's good to see you here again for year number two for you, so hopefully, you'll see you next year.
Absolutely, we'll be here, man.
I'm here with Michael Barber from Reynolds Advanced Materials. I know I've seen you guys at Transworld before, so what year is this for you guys?
We've been here for, been coming here for a few years. This is my first year here. Having a good time with the show so far. We're getting a lot of great traffic, a lot of great customers are here. I mean, this is just a great show for us. Half the people at the show buy from us already, but it's still, you know, great to find lots of new customers.
Right.
You know, just getting the word out, lots of new products.
So this is your first year being a Transworld. What do you think of all this craziness?
I mean, this is, you know, heaven for me. I mean, I study special effects, so I've been doing makeup for a while, and it's just great to, you know, just be surrounded by all this stuff constantly.
You're like you're at home, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So tell us a little bit more about Reynolds Advanced Materials. I know you have some smooth-on stuff and a lot of your... So pretty much anybody that wants to make their own props, their own masks, is that what you guys kind of supply?
Yeah, we sell, you know, all sorts of mold-making and casting materials, any kind of project that you're working on for sculptures, if you want to do props, if you want to do masks, if you want to do prosthetics, even some makeup, if you're, you know, into making busts or, you know, figurines, you know, you name it, we've got something that'll be able to help you.
I was sampling some of your discs back there, so, I mean, you have anything from... real soft silicone to a type of hard resin materials.
Yes.
I see some of your products over here that you probably made with your materials. I know some of your, like the silicone masks, you know, CFX masks, Mortal masks.
Yeah, they're all customers of ours.
So they all use your all silicone. So if somebody was to do this themselves, they're kind of making, kind of right up there with the pros, making their own stuff with the same kind of materials.
Yeah, the EcoFlex line is a really popular silicone for making the masks. Our Dragonskin FX Pro is great for doing prosthetic pieces. We've got flexible foams that are great for making props. A new product that we've got is FlexFoam at 23FR. It's a fire-rated foam with a low expansion rate, so it's denser. It's great for... I made a hatchet with it earlier. I painted it up with another product called Uracoat, which is a urethane coating. It's color neutral. You can use it as a paint for latex masks, for your flex foam props. You can seal up, you know, any other, do perma-wet blood with it.
Right.
It's a great product. We've also got a new silicone called EcoFlex 35 Fast. It's a 35 Shore 00 hardest, so it's very, very soft, very, very stretchy. And it's also super fast cure time. It's about 2.5 minute pot life and a 5 minute cure time. So if you're in a hurry, you need to do something real fast. This
like somebody on Facebook would make use something like that, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
definitely
like,
good if you're
what
time
am I going to do? I don't know. I got 5 minutes. But yeah, they could be used in a haunted house situation too. Because if you're, you know, you have an actor, their mask just rips. You don't have another one. Hey, we have one 30 minutes.
We've got some easy to use, you know, on skin effects too. We're raffling off of the show our ultimate zombie kit.
See it right there?
Yeah, it's on-skin silicone effect, so you can build up wounds and scars and deformities right on your skin.
Nice.
We're also giving away our ultimate blood kit. So it's our own kind of staged blood. It looks like real blood right out of the bottle, but we've also got tints for it if you want to make it a little bit more arterial or a little bit lighter. Thicken it up, thin it back out, and go back and forth as much as you want. But my favorite part about it is it washes right out of your clothes afterwards. It doesn't stain at all.
That's nice. Yeah. That's a good one to have there, because how many times you've stained up your good something t-shirt or something, pair of shoes, because you're using
exactly.
The wrong blood.
Hey, we've got a video of it going right on this guy's nice white shirt, and it's not a problem with it getting out afterwards. I've gotten on my clothes a few times, and...
That means a lot in our industry, so...
Exactly. I've used so many stage bloods that have just ruined clothing afterwards.
Right.
Especially if you're doing, like, the old corn syrup and food coloring trick.
Oh,
That's the easiest way to ruin your shirt.
Been there. So if they didn't make it to Transworld this year, can they find you at other trade shows this year?
Yeah, we'll be at a few other trade shows this year. We're going to be at Wizard World Chicago. We're going to be at Adepticon in Schaumburg. I mean, we've got 9 branches across the country. They're also going to be all at their own trade shows. So look for us, you know, if you're into this kind of thing,
there's a good chance either us or Smooth On will be there. So we've definitely got you covered. If you don't see us at a trade show, check us out online. ReynoldsAM.com. You can read about all our products, get instructions, buy online. We've got video tutorials, step-by-step guides, whatever you need to help you get going. A lot of great resources out there for us.
Very good. I'm going to have to check it out myself, I think. So, but if I don't see you again this year, I'll probably see you again next year.
Oh, we'll definitely be here next year.
All right. Thanks for taking time to talk to me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, it's Jiggles the Clown here, and if you want something cool and more Halloween and haunt stuff, you gotta go check out HauntTopic.com. Yeah, HauntTopic.com, that's right.
The Night Keep, Heretica. We'll be right back.
So we are with Necrotic Creations. I know I've seen you guys at Transworld a few years now.
Yep.
This is actually our fifth year at Transworld and our, seventh year actually in business, so it's been a while.
I know you guys started off with maybe a couple wall panel displays. Now you have a big variety of things going on here.
Yes, we do. We try to cater to everybody's needs, so we focus on some wall decor and some props as well.
So I guess for anybody that hasn't seen Necrotic Creations, you do anything from like little doorbells and replicas of fire handles and Victorian handles and anything, those finer details for your haunted attraction.
Yeah.
We kind of have the philosophy that the small details are what take your haunted environment or your haunted house in from being this a structure into an actual building. So people don't consciously look at a doorbell or a plug in your wall and go, ooh, that's spooky, but it adds to the level of realism that now they're actually in a building, they're in a house, it's a real structure. And it's a subtle thing, but it really adds levels to the believability of the environment that they're in.
That's what we try to do when we do our haunt, is to make it as realistic as possible. To try to take that away from the customer at all, because the more you immerse the customer into the scene, the better. So your pieces are for that purpose.
Exactly. And a lot of the things that we do, they look good in the light as well as dark environments. We figured that if you, for a true experience in a haunt, you have to have areas that are light and areas that are dark. And we don't want to just say, well, our stuff looks good in the dark. You have to have light areas too. So we make the details, the really pretty things that you put in a haunt where they're going to be seen. In fact, a lot of people like our stuff so much that they take it to their home year-round and they keep it in their house and they maybe bring it out to have in their haunt.
Nothing wrong with that.
Immediately put it right back. So.
I just saw your little clown statue back there. Those are actually haunt awards for your scare actors.
Yes, exactly. We have currently four different awards. We have a clown, we have a pumpkin, and we have what we call our off-scare. And a tombstone zombie. And each of these can be customized for your haunt actors, depending on what you do or what you think they deserve.
That means a lot to your actors because they always like to have rewards and stuff, especially the end of the year. And that's a great idea because
some kind of recognition from the haunt. And we also do custom things like little magnets. You want to have a magnet or something with your company's logo, your haunt's logo. We provide that service as well. We have a line of our own, but we can also custom make them for haunts.
So of all the creations you've done, you probably have some new pieces this year maybe you've been working on. What kind of stuff are you excited about this year?
This year we actually have a small pneumatic prop that we think is really clever. We love it. We make a series of plugs and outlets, but this year we've added a plug to it, and it's a pneumatic switch, so it has a cord hanging down. But when you trigger it, the cord whips around and has air coming out of it. So it's an air whip, but it's hiding in plain sight. So however you want to trigger it, all of a sudden you've got this air whip tickling people's ankles.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's right there, but it's another thing. It's like, you don't have to hide the cord is there. Nobody's going to recognize it as what it is until it triggers.
Yeah.
And then it scares the crap out of them.
That's always a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be good like around an electrical panel type scene or something.
Exactly.
Oh, I see your cords, it's like sitting right there.
And then the other really big thing that we like, it's kind of more, not really sure why we did it, but we made a set of tikis. They're a light sconce or a fog head, depending on how you want to use them. But they come in two different sizes. We've got one that's about 16 inches tall and one that's about, I think, 26 inches tall. But they're on the other side of this wall.
Okay.
And
that's new for this year?
Yeah, those are new for this year, and they're really cool. So we call them our creepy tikis.
Did you have some customers that wanted those? Or?
No, it was just kind of a spur of the moment. You know, we need another fog head. And so we were talking about it. And he's like, let's make a tiki. Why not? And I'm like,
there's a lot of tiki
themed
haunts You can also do it in a voodoo theme.
Yes, exactly.
You know, stuff like that.
So we figured that even though it's tiki, which is technically, I guess, Hawaiian or Polynesian, it can translate into a lot of different things depending on what they decide to do with it. And we can, of course, customize the paint job to whatever they want, but we kind of like the way they look.
So for those who missed out on Transworld this year, are you going to go to any other trade shows?
Currently, we are West Coast Haunters Convention and Scarlet are the ones that are locked in. And we're debating about Midwest. I think that one hasn't passed yet, if I'm remembering correctly. That's still a couple of months away.
Yeah, June, I believe.
Yeah.
And if they can't meet you there, necroticcreations.com?
That's it, exactly, necroticcreations.com.
Are you guys on Facebook or Instagram, anything like that?
You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. We have pages on all of them.
I'm always seeing your all stuff being posted. Coming soon. Look what we're working on. So it's good you guys do that and keep everybody informed of what's going on.
Yeah, we try to add little teasers without giving it away entirely, just to keep the interest in and let people know that we're still around and still doing stuff, because we get so busy with the actual production side of things that sometimes we forget to let people know that we're still around. And it's important that we let people know, because otherwise they, you know, if we're not in the public eye, then that's a bad thing.
Right.
So, yeah, we really try to stay on top of that, at least currently. We're working on it.
Yeah, it's hard to do, you know.
There's a lot of aspects to a business, and we have to wear a lot of hats. So.
That's like my haunt. I probably hadn't posted on there in a couple months. So it's like, you see haunted attractions, they get closer to September. It's like, oh, come visit us, you know. But it's good that you guys keep you behind the scenes type things. Like you said, in front of your customers all year, that's...
We're trying. It's really difficult to do the sculpting, the mold making, the production, the finishing. We do it all in-house. We don't send anything out. We don't send anything to Mexico to have mass-produced or China. It's all in America. We use all local and American-made products in our things whenever possible. Then we have to do our own web design and social media, outreach, networking, all of that stuff to kind of try to do it all ourselves. And it's a lot of hats.
Yeah, people realize that there's a lot of small vendors here, a lot of small businesses that have to do that stuff themselves. I'm used to it. You know, that's what we do is, you know, go from home haunter to pro haunter. You got to save money. So that's a good thing that you guys' prices are reasonable, too. And what kind of discounts are you giving in the show? And are you having any discounts carry over throughout the month, or is this it?
Well, the prices that we have at the show currently are good through the, basically for 30 days after the show.
It should be. My podcast should come out in time. So.
Yes. After that, each of the shows... we do have a discount at each individual show that's a break off of what we offer on the web. But the greatest thing about ordering at a show, generally speaking, if we have the cash and carry at a convention, is that you don't have to pay for shipping.
Yeah.
Because shipping, especially on the oversized things, can be a little bit pricey. But other than that, you know, just check us out on the web. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out wherever you want. We got a lot of cool stuff, a lot of creepy stuff,
Yep, I like seeing what you guys come out with, so I'll probably see you again here next year.
Oh yeah, we'll do our damnedest to be here.
All right, well, thanks to you for taking time to talk to me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for stopping.
Well, I ran into Douglas Mobley from Gilderfluke. Now, if you guys know Gilderfluke, they have all kinds of things for, say, prop controllers and lighting controllers, down to the circuit board, stuff you can plug and play yourself and make up any combination that you want. So what, people that haven't heard of Gilderfluke, what would be your one-minute pitch on what is Gilderfluke?
Well, we're considered generally the high end of this market. We do the shows also for big folks like Universal, Disney, and so on. We run major attractions that run 365 days a year. As a result, all of our stuff is not made as cheaply as it can be made. It's made as good as it can be made. If you look at any of our products, the circuit boards are all gold-plated. Not because we like it because it's pretty, although it is, but also because gold doesn't corrode. If you want something to last for 10, 20 years, that's what you need to do. So that's what our stuff is designed to do. We're disappointed if any of our equipment doesn't last a good 10 years running out in the field. We have stuff that's been running at Universal, Jurassic Park, the entire attraction, all the giant dinosaurs down at Universal. It's been running 15 years without a single breakdown. Same for attractions like Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. We ran for 20 years. Jungle Cruise Tiki Room ran for 17 years without a single failure. We still run the Fantasmic Dragons at both parks, plus lots of other stuff. There are electrical parades at Disney. Lots of venues, lots of places. But it's all made to last for years and years and years and years and years without any service. So our stuff costs a little bit more than the other guy's stuff, but it will last. And plus you can it'll definitely hold up and keep going and do a thousand times more different things than what the little toy boxes will do.
Yeah, we know as I've been a scare actor, been a home haunter, haunt attraction owner, so I know what kind of beating your props and your animatronics take. And you carry anything from pistons?
No, we don't do anything. We basically stop at the end of the wire. We can tell you where to get all that stuff because most people don't know where to get it, but it's like it's commonly available any place in the country or world. There's a little town next near you, and you're in the middle of a farm country. There's going to be someone selling pneumatic and hydraulic parts because it's used on tractors.
Right.
So it's not hard to find. And there are catalogs like McMaster Car that have all those parts in them, brand new, first quality. So you're not having to buy this cheap surplus stuff or not good quality stuff from China. You can actually buy the good stuff. That's what we always do, is we always recommend the good parts, the stuff that's going to hold up for you. We use, on our demo board, we use for training, we use SMC valves, simply because Disney did a shootout between different valve manufacturers years ago. They used the Small World ride as a chassis for it, but they put in different manufacturers' valves to see who would last longer, because the valves are rated for one manufacturer would say 5 million or another one would say 10 million, whatever. They went through and let them run, because for Disney, 5 million cycles is a couple of years, or if that. And they don't want to have to replace everything every couple of years. So the one that won the shootout was the SMCs. So that's what we use as well.
So. I know a lot of my listeners are do-it-yourselfers, and they want to do it from ground up. So what kind of stuff do you recommend? Let's say I wanted to build an ordinary prop with sound. Do I need a software to go with all this stuff, or how do you get started?
Well, the two common ones for this market are Mini Brick 4 and Mini Brick 8. One has 4 outputs, the other has 8 outputs. The 8 output also does 2 servo motors and DMX 512 for controlling lights. Both of those can be programmed, the digital outputs can be programmed on them just using the buttons on the top. But in most cases, you're going to want to use our software. The software for most HON applications, up to 128 digital outputs, which is pretty much all HON applications, the software's free. So you get the same software that Disney or Universal uses for their major shows for free. And yeah, good thought. Can't beat free. You can go to our website and download it today. Just go to www.gilderfluke.com and go to the software downloads. It looks like you're making a purchase, but then when you get in, your browser will just download the software. You can install it on your PC and just start running it. We also have training videos online on YouTube. You can access those easiest through our webpage, but they'll step you through making your first show. It ain't rocket surgery. And also, unlike most of the other companies around here, we actually have a staff.
Hey, that helps when you try to call and get some help, right?
Yep, exactly. We actually have people there who are there to answer the phones and answer questions, who are techs, who been with us for, generally our techs have been here, been with us for a decade or more. So they know the stuff, and they know what it takes to get it done. And we've seen, if you're doing something wrong, or it's just a configuration problem or whatever, generally we can fix it over the phone.
A lot of your, I think some of your products are also used for the Christmas lights and stuff. A lot of people do the Christmas decorations and all the...
Basically, it's sequencing stuff. We do that, and then we also do a lot of movies. We did 4 movies last year. Little titles like Fast and Furious 7, The Avengers.
I think I've heard
Captain
of them,
America.
Yeah.
Well, right now we've got other movies. Well, in the Han market, we actually did like Child's Play. We did you know, all these other movies that you've seen, and you know they make
like
the
when the head spins around.
All that stuff.
You're all in that too.
Well, it depends on which movie, but yeah, right. we've done that many times. Head spinning around, that would actually be, for us, would be Meryl Streep's head spinning around in Death Becomes Her. The okay, animatronics, yeah. And that was all controlled by our stuff. So I was actually on the set and got to call action for Meryl Streep. That was fun. I was sitting underneath the camera, between her and the camera.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, action, Meryl. So, but, you know, we've moved big things. The biggest thing we moved is a 747 on a gimbal. And
wow.
That was for a couple movie called Executive Decision. We've moved major actors. Robin Williams has been on our stuff 6-8 times. Harrison Ford in 6 Days, 7 Nights actually programmed the motion of the airplane himself. He's a pilot. So they just gave him a control set that looked like a regular airplane control set. He flew it. He did the programming for the movie. And it's because it was fun for him. And another movie on... another little one you might have heard of is Star Wars. When they're shooting some of the effects scenes down in Australia, they're using our stuff in the movies. We do lots of movies. And George Lucas came up behind one of the guys who was just for killing time, was actually programming one of the characters to talk along with a Lipton tea commercial that was pretty funny that was going around Australia at the time. So George Lucas came himself, actually programmed a figure and actually played around with the thing. It happened to be the big bug-eyed general in, I think, episode 4, and basically said, hey, I can get CGI quality animatronics and mouth moves in the camera on the set without having to wait 6 or 8 months to see it. And so he actually increased the number of animatronic figures they put into the figure that we control. Same for Fast and Furious 7. After our initial gag was actually dropping the cars when they were doing the falling scenes. Those cars were actually suspended by 3 cables that we controlled from a very high crane. And so they were dropping over and over again so they could get the interior shots. And we could control them so that the car would do what was going on the live shots they had filmed, called the background plates, of the actual cars being shoved out of airplanes or going off cliffs or whatever they happen to be doing.
Right there. Oh, here's
the plane. Yep, oh, that's elephant. Dumbo Drop. That was actually an animatronic elephant being shoved out the back of an airplane.
Yeah.
But same sort of thing.
Yep. So if people could make it to Trans World, where can they find your products and buy them?
Where they can find their products? Well, we're in, what is this booth? 931, I think it is. Or you can go online. If you've been to Trans World, tell them you were here, and you get a special pricing, about 20% off the list price on the thing, on the equipment.
Awesome. And your website is gilderfluke.com?
GilderFluke.com. We've been in business about 34 years now. So we've pretty much figured out what we're doing by now.
You know what you're doing, yeah. So if you guys want controllers and stuff that's going to hold up to your props and your haunted attraction, go check out Gilderfluke.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ran into the Haunters Hangout. Oh, my God. Who are these people? Diablo and Jamie and Randy. Y'all do the Haunters Hangout too, right?
I do.
So what's your all's role behind Haunters Hangout? We know what his role is.
My role is to keep him straight.
No, that's not possible.
No, I'm mainly in charge of the website and the technical behind the scenes stuff like that.
So I noticed y'all, what was it, last year you added the website? So it's got all the video tutorials of other haunters on there, people send you the videos, and then you automatically put them on there. How's that all work?
No, actually people can just come in and create their own account and make their own profile, and then they can go in and add their tutorials. They can upload YouTube videos of their past haunts by location and by date, so people can come and learn more about them.
So we're talking tutorials for anything Halloween related, haunted house related, whether you're a home haunter or pro haunter, right?
Right.
And then this guy over here, Diablo, I don't even know if anybody knows his real name, but so you all do the Haunters Hangout group on YouTube, right? YouTube Live or
Oh, yeah.
So it's Google Hangout.
Google Hangout.
And then it automatically goes over to YouTube, right?
That's right. Everybody gets on the Facebook page and watches the show live, and they get to see all the, from pro to home hunters, vendors, everybody. They ask questions, and they get answered from our panel.
There's a lot of, you know, it's good. I do not get on live, but I listen to your all's podcast after the show. Listen to the audio version, and there's a lot of, you can tell when you listen to your guys, there's a lot of
drinking.
Well, you know, a lot of it's a community of passionate people that all love the same thing.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and it's all about honors and sharing information with other honors. And there's I admit it, I get on there, listen to new guests, and then I'll look them up. And I'll be like, hey, you want to interview on my podcast? But it's good that you guys do that. And it's been several years since you've been doing the hangouts.
Oh, yeah.
And your Facebook group is over 20-some thousand people now, right? 30,000 people. How do you keep all that under control there?
Dude, it's crazy, man. It's like hours and hours on Facebook. Hours. Researching and, you know, making sure we get the right guests on at the right time, you know. It's like, it's crazy. My wife wants to divorce me, but she loves it. I'm breaking her in slowly, dude. She's
keep working on her, man.
She's turning to the dark side. Literally.
Well, it's good that you got a nice group of people that have kind of backing you up and helping you out and are as, you know, crazy as you are. So that's
right, right. You know, Jim Walden's put up with me for a long time, and Brad Goodspeed, I know he hates me, but, you know, we got a bunch of people to help, Julie Rydell and, like, Jamie Huggins here. We have a guest host that always comes on and helps out, Pandora Rose. And then we have other guest hosts that drop in here and there.
I know she's been doing the guest speakers or the guest hosts.
Yeah.
Jim's
been gone for a while, so a lot of the hunters have been stepping up and was loving to take his spot, and they went him out. No,
I can see that. So these are every Wednesday nights?
Thursday
nights. Between what months are you doing this? And
9 Eastern. What?
What was the question?
What months and what times?
Oh, okay. Well, it's from about 9 Eastern to 11 o'clock on Thursday nights. And we usually start about February, and we run up usually until the weekend before MHC.
And they just, where can they find the hangout itself? What link can they go to?
Well, you can find our Facebook page at, you're just Googling Hunters Hangout on Facebook. Also, if you go to our website, huntershangout.org, you can find all of the back episodes going all the way back to our first one.
I've listened to every single one of them. So I even stole one of y'all's podcasts and put it on my show one time.
That's right.
Yeah. I was short on content that month, you know. So, but it's good to run into you again. And I guess Midwest Hunters show, right? Is the next one?
Yeah, it's the 24th.
So I won't be there, but listeners out there, go to Midwest Hunters. You guys are going to have a big booth set up, right?
Well, we're still thinking about it.
Maybe.
Not positive?
Yeah. All right. All right, guys. Well, have a good time at the show, and we'll see you next time. Well, you can't go to Transworld without running into the Hot Wire Foam Factory booth. We're talking to John today from Hot Wire Foam Factory. How's your Transworld going so far?
So far, doing very good.
I know a lot of the hunters out there know Hot Wire Foam Factory for their tools that they go to for carving their tombstones, carving their bricks and their stonework for their haunted houses. How long have you guys been around?
Hot Wire Foam Factory is a family-owned business that's been around for going on 26 years.
Are you the mastermind behind?
No, I am not. I'm the regional rep for Hot Wire.
Where are you guys based out of?
Hot Wire is based out of Lompoc, California.
And you do supplies for probably home hunters, haunted attraction, probably set designers.
Set designers, theme parks, miniature wargaming. The scale is going anywhere from a quarter inch up to multi-life size.
And I know you guys, what kind of different tools do you have that the average hunter can use, carving foams and stuff?
The most versatile tools are the hand tool kits. They consist of a selection of 9 different hand tools, but probably 4 or 5 of those tools, if they're selected properly, you can do almost anything you need to do in a home haunt. Beyond that, we get into industrial knives, which are heavy-duty cutters or bow cutters that go out to 4 foot for large sculpting.
So these pretty much plug them in, let them warm up, and ready to go, right?
In a lot of cases, they're almost instantaneous.
That's even better, because we like to do things fast. So that's good. So you have, I see you have some maybe DVDs to help people who want to get started, and they need to know some, you know, methods and stuff starting out.
The kits include a DVD that is not going to do anything for you as far as building a haunt, but it's for care and use of the tools. There are DVDs that are available that are applicable to a haunt. There's also a lot of information on the web that have instructions, a lot of YouTube. In fact, Hotwire has a YouTube channel.
I've been on that before, so.
Yeah.
Well, very good. So I guess if anybody didn't make Transworld, they can go to HWFF.com.
HWFF.com, Hotwire Foam Factory.
Very good. Well, nice talking to you today, John.
You're welcome.
So I ran into Eric Svindahl from Haunting FX. And we got some cool animatronic stuff over there. And this year it looks like you've added some escape room props.
Yeah, we sure have. We've put a lot of add-ons. So it's all plug-and-play, sticking with our normal theme. Our animatronics all plug-and-play. You can even integrate our animatronics into success of any of these escape puzzles that we have.
Yeah, he just kind of walked me down through some of these. So you have like a laser pointer that trips that circuit there. You have a light. We have these lantern and candles that you blow out, and it goes by your breath, I guess, and then that shuts off, and then there's this pulley thing that you can pull on. So did you design these concepts yourself?
Yeah, along with the colleagues in our company, we sat down, kind of looked at what people might need, what would be neat. You know, you can come in and you can buy complete escape room packages from all kinds of people, but in sticking with the way that our company likes to operate, we like to make it where it's versatile and that you can use it yourself. So even here, these lock boxes come unpainted. You can paint them in whatever theme to match, and you could have identicals in other rooms, but they're painted completely different. They have different clues in them. But when we went through, we decided what was really kind of neat that people could use but could be versatile to fit a lot of themes. If some people have Wild West themes, some people have futuristic, some people have scary, all sorts of different ideas.
So these boxes, how do they operate?
These boxes here are add-ons, so with any of our systems, if you get to success in something, say you blow out this lantern successfully, it could turn on this light, which is included with it, or maybe it turns the light off, or maybe it unlocks a door. Maybe all it does is unlock this add-on box, and it has pick-and-pluck foam on the inside, so you can make whatever inside really nice and sit in there, and it'll come unlocked for however long you have the success time on our controller set to. So it's down here at 1 minute. Your box will be unlocked for 1 minute. They may not even find it in that 1 minute time, and they might have to go back and do the puzzle again and start over. So it's pretty versatile how you set it.
Yeah, so that's what versatility, and you can also link just that room, have 3 different props in that one room, or you can have 2 props in that room linked into another prop in the other room. Maybe you're setting it for 60 seconds or 60 minutes, and they have to, I guess, break it that way.
Yep.
I know escape rooms have become a hot thing for the industry this year, the haunted attraction industry. More people are having, you know, vacant buildings, and they're trying to fill up slots for the rest of the year. So that's a very good thing. Have you done escape rooms yourself? In your?
I've gone through some. We don't operate an escape room. As a vendor, we stay busy enough producing stuff for them, so we don't necessarily have time to operate one. But the ones I've been through, some of them have been incredibly detailed, and some have been extremely simple. But what we're trying to do here is make it a technical thing, and automated as much as possible. I think you should still have those live elements in it that are simple clues to find. But how neat is it like that? You put in a proper code and a panel drops and reveals a map onto your next place.
Right. And on your animatronic side, are those complete kits that you buy with everything over there?
That's mostly true, yes. The mechs are stripped down mechanisms like you can see, and you can dress them, retheme them year to year. You can sleeve in your own heads into there and bolt them in, so you can, one year might have a clown, one year might have a zombie, change it out. Very easy to do. Mount them in a different position even, like our torso lifter, for example, could be something coming out of a coffin. Now next year, retheme it, hang it from a ceiling, now you have something that swings down. We can add controllers onto some of them. Some of them include controllers. Some include even your choice of trigger. But even those can integrate into the escape room stuff if you even wanted to do that. Our door banger over there, you have a theme maybe where you're locked in the evil guy's basement and he's about to come home and you succeed on one of these and our door banger starts going off and there's audio and he's trying to get in and now you put yourself in quite a problem.
Right. Well, I do like the versatility of everything, and I like how everything connects together. And everything looks simple. I mean, your controllers look—they have nice little dials, and it doesn't look too complicated. So that's good.
Yeah, no, it is very simple. Even on the front of the controller, you can just simply look. It says idle, means it's waiting. At success, right there, we know that now it's triggered. So it's easy for the operator to see. It's easy to adjust the time. And all of our cables are simply plug right in the back. You don't need any tools other than to install your lock or your light or mount the controller down or anything like that that you're doing. But simply by reversing a couple connections even like that, in this case the light comes on at success, which you might set it up like that, or you might say, you know, it's kind of working, but I think I'd like it the other way. All you have to do is unplug it and plug it into another connection. You don't even need tools, and now the light will function the opposite way. It'll be on all the time and turn off at success.
Very smart. Well, if people can't make it to Trans World, where can they find your stuff and buy some of your cool items?
They can find us on the internet at hauntingfx.com, or they can call us toll free at 888-232-8578.
Very good. Well, I want to go look around and some more of these cool things, and thanks for talking to me today.
Not a problem. Thanks for stopping in.
Well, I finally made it. What aisle am I on? Aisle 1500, second day of Trans World for me. And I ran into Haunt Shirts, a new company that started up this year. James Winton, are you the mastermind behind?
I am.
You sound that
right,
with...
I'm a little crazy, 1-2.
Right. So tell us, I know Haunt Shirts kind of says the name, Haunt Shirts, but kind of an apparel for haunters. I see you have quite a few different designs going on back there.
So we do a little bit. We have our own designs that we create in-house and we sell on our website. And then we do bulk programs. So a haunted attraction is looking for shirts for their to sell to the consumers. That's, you know, we kind of do it all. Shirts, hats, sweatshirts, jackets, everything. We're like a full service shop for apparel.
So if I, being a haunt owner, wanted to get some t-shirts done through you guys, how do I get started?
They can either go to our website, fill out a form, or they can just send an email to me, james@hauntshirts.com.
So you have to have probably a pretty good size graphic, art, logo. To what do y'all work with?
We can work with from, you know, pretty basic drawings to full scale art. We have art in house also. If somebody needed some help with logo or graphic design, we can do that also.
Wow! So you do logos maybe, and then t-shirts and.
Yeah, absolutely. We're full service.
Wow.
Full service.
Well, that's good. And I know you guys started up in September. This year, was that?
Yeah, we started up in August, shipped our first shirts in September, and shipped our first subscription program shirt in November.
I know you guys were also trying to get a haunted attraction going. How'd that go?
We have decided not to do that.
Yeah?
Yeah, so we're doing some other things, though. We're still involved in the business. Melissa, my wife, people may know her as Hauntzilla.
Right.
We're still doing some design work for some haunts, but we're not going to do an attraction anymore.
I know you all had a little another business venture that you've opened up. Crafted?
Crafted, yeah. Yeah, that's Melissa's mastermind. DIY home decor project classes. So people show up and we teach them how to build signs and things of that nature.
Sounds like you're a hands-on kind of couple.
Yeah, we're we're all about teaching people how to do stuff, so we have a lot of fun doing it.
That's good. So this been seeing these haunt shirts. I know I've seen the Haunter by Nature shirt for many people. There was another one, the Haunt Live t-shirt back there. I've seen people on Facebook wearing it. Which one's your kind of favorite that you like?
Well, my favorite is Frank.
Right.
Frank Glows in the Dark. That's by far my favorite. I just love the character.
Right.
You know, our most popular shirts are Haunter by Nature. Haunter's Gonna Haunt.
I see that one now. Yeah.
So we have a new one, the Aerosmith version of Haunt This Way.
I got
so
you.
So that's a new one. We're going to do a few more rock-inspired shirts as we go on.
Right.
And we're always looking for art, so if there are people out there that want to throw some designs our way, we're happy to look at them.
And they can find you on Haunt Shirts.
HauntShirts.com, Facebook at Haunt Shirts, Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the place.
Yeah, I see you everywhere, so can't miss you.
We're easy to find.
Yeah. All right, well, nice to finally get to meet you, and good luck with the Haunt Shirts venture.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
The Night Keep, Heretica.
Dazed, yet happy to be alive, we had fallen into a network of tunnels, catacombs. The stench of mold and decay assailed us, and our feet crunched on bones. It was then Federic began to worry.
The evil in this place is too great. My holy wards are powerless.
This is impossible! Demons, they're children! What foul heresy would create such filth?
No sooner did he say this than his holy ward, our light in the darkness, dimmed and went out. We were cast into pitch, with but scant rays of the bright night creeping through the rubble where we fell.
They're coming for us! Listen! The Blight Takers! We are doomed!
Steel your nerves, Inquisitor. For what is our purpose in the light if we cannot slay the very demons that have you quaking in fear? Gather your courage, brother. I fear there is more ahead of us.
Fear had us in its grip, and I knew our lives were in imminent danger. Though forbidden, and with a dread in my spirit, I held my hand before me and whispered a spell. Arcana Lumos. I knew that in any other situation, the Inquisitors would have struck me down, or worse, had me put to question and remunerations. Federic, however, sighed with a quiet despair.
Master Incantio, no.
Alas, what would you have us do, my friend?
Magic is anathema! You have just mocked your soul! Even a simple catch at the light, the small always leads to greater corruption. The Inquisition will...
My young warrior, you and your Inquisition are the least of my worries at this juncture. I saw him clutching his blade, its holy aura dimmed, but still deadly. Would you kill me? Here? Now? I could not blame the paladins. They had been baptized in combat and holy doctrine for years in the Imperial Church. It was instilled in them to attack enemies of the Church with no hesitation. I was relieved as Federic relaxed his sword arm, though.
I will be forced to address this later, Master Incantio.
If there is a later, Lord Inquisitor, if there is... Suddenly, a thundering roar deafened us. The walls themselves seemed to bellow. Something monstrous was running straight toward us. All thoughts were banished, replaced by blind terror, and we ran for our lives.
Thank you for listening to Haunt Topic Radio. Please leave a comment wherever you found this podcast. Each comment you leave will help spread the word to other haunters around the world. See you next time.
This show is part of the Haunted Attractions Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at hauntedattractionspodcast.com.